They are just chunks of metal and hunks of wood that somebody has fashioned and somebody has formulated so that we have something, or the pagans, if you will, the world has something to worship. The issue for Paul was not so much the meat, but it was knowledge. In fact, he uses the phrase, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And the idea is that I may know something, and I may know it very, very seriously, but sometimes my knowledge can become an ego trip. And it really can. It can happen that way. Sometimes I can use my knowledge, excuse me, in a way that puts other people down. And in the process, I become their superior. And so Paul tells them that they need to struggle with this issue, but they have to be careful that they struggle with it in love rather than in knowledge. The temples and all of those powerless idols was something that those Christians knew about, but he didn't want them to focus on the gods of the culture. Instead, he wanted to focus on the one God, the only God that matters. And I hope that you remember from last week, we talked about the fact that there were the 12 gods of Olympus that they all worshipped, the Greeks worshipped, and then there were 20 or 25 other subordinate gods, and they had temples to a lot of these different gods. And so it's real easy to get wrapped up because there's so much noise coming at you from all of these gods and goddesses. And we still worship them today. We just call them different things. Okay? We don't call it the goddess Aphrodite that we're worshiping. Instead, we call it the goddess of cosmetic surgery. You know, we don't call it the god of war. We don't use the term Ares, but boy, you know, we're about ready to battle if anybody comes against us. You know, we're ready to fight. And we praise our own strength. I could take you, you know, that kind of a thing. There are gods of money. There are gods of intellect. There are gods of beauty. There are gods of prestige. There are gods of power. There are all kinds of different gods. There's gods of family. There's gods of hearth and home and health. Asclepius is one of the leading causes of people to worship their own health in the Greek world. And so the gods are still here. We don't call them the same thing. We don't worship them in temples. But boy, we spend a lot of money on them. We give them a lot of time. We pour a lot of worry into those kinds of things. And so they're still there. And the Apostle Paul is trying to help us to remember that there is only one God, and that's who we need to be concerned about. But this issue doesn't just go away. In fact, as we come along in this process of taking a look at the unity that the Apostle Paul is asking from the church, we find that he isn't content with the instruction that he gave in chapter 8. In fact, he just realizes that there has to be a little bit of a deeper thought process, and so we come to chapter 10. And in chapter 10, we find the Apostle Paul revisiting the exact same issue, except from a little deeper point of view. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 14. And I'd like to read these words, have you follow along, then make some comments about them. There is one thing that I would like you to do, though. I would like for you, as I'm going through this, I'd like for you to either underline or put a star beside or mark in some way every time you see in the text the word participation. Okay? I want you to pay attention to how many times that word appears in the text. Now, that might be difficult if you're looking it up on your phone, but good luck with that. Okay? First Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 14. Therefore, my dear brothers, my dear friends, as Paul calls them, Flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a participation or a part both in the Lord's table and in the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than He? I hope you feel the passion that the Apostle Paul is putting into these words, because this is extremely important to the Apostle Paul. Now, you may have heard some of these words used in a communion meditation before, and they are good words to use, because we are talking about a participation in something, not just a partaking of it. You see, Paul is trying to help the fractured church, the believers in Corinth, to realize that the core of unity is more than just familiarity with God. It's one thing to say you know God, or you know about God. It's a whole other thing to say, I know God intimately. That I have spent time with God. That I have communed with God. And so the Apostle Paul is trying very hard to help the people to see and realize that faith in God is more than just saying, yes, I believe that God exists. If you're going to be unified with the one God, instead of being connected to all of the pagan gods that are out there, you have to start with communion. You have to start with communion. Unity is born out of a deep communion and intense fellowship of beloved intimacy with God. Unity is more than just partaking of one God. How many of you have watched the Olympics over the last 2 weeks? Probably all of you at some point have seen something about it. Maybe you saw it on TV, maybe you saw it on the streaming services, or maybe you just read about it in the newspaper, but I'm guessing, all of us have had some contact with the Olympics. How many of you have participated in the Olympics? I'm not seeing any hands. There's a huge difference between partaking of something and participating in it. Lots of people partake of the Super Bowl. Well, maybe you partake of the Super Bowl lunch, okay? But you partake of the Super Bowl when you watch it on television or on any of the streaming services, or you wait till the next day or whatever. You watch it on YouTube. Whatever method you use or media you use, you're partaking of the game. But there isn't any one of us in this room that put on the pads, that grabbed a hold of that football and that played Rams versus the Bengals. Not a single one of us participated in the game. The Apostle Paul is saying, look, idols and sacrifices to idols are meaningless. However, the participation in that worship is something that you need to run far away from. Do not participate in the worship of these idols, because when you do, you're actually participating in demonic things. Now, to drive the point home, Paul uses the Israelites as an example. Consider the people of Israel, he says. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Now again, he's not talking about that meat that they bought in the agora or in the marketplace. He's talking about being in that temple and that meat is sacrificed, and when it is sacrificed, then they participate in that together. You know what we talk, or what we call that? We call that communion. That's what we call it. It is a participation in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But Paul goes back not to Jesus. He goes back to Israel. He says, I want you to understand that this is an important issue. The gods and the goddesses that the Greeks worshipped and the gods and the goddesses that we worship, that's just a front. It's a front for Satan. And we might not think there's anything wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with getting a good education. There's nothing wrong with being beautiful. There's nothing wrong with having great health and focusing on those things. There's nothing wrong with pleasure. There's nothing wrong with alcoholism or drinking. You know, there's nothing wrong with those things. They're just something, though, that take your focus away from the sacrifice that saves you. And the Apostle Paul is trying to remind everybody that when you participate in all of those gods and goddesses of the world, you are taking and dividing your attention from God. And it's just that simple. And yet it is so very powerful. And so he goes back to Israel. Israel had decided, you know, God brought them out of Egypt. You remember that story? It's found in the book of Exodus. God brought them out of slavery in Egypt. You know, long time they were there, from the time of Joseph all the way until the time of Moses. Long time. The Pharaohs had made their life miserable. They were supposed to make bricks without clay or without straw. They were, you know, their taskmasters were horrible. Moses gets run out of town. He spends 40 years as a shepherd. He comes back because God meets him at a burning bush. Take your shoes off, that whole business, the holy ground stuff, all of that. Eventually, Moses comes back 10 plagues later. After God has demonstrated his power over all of the gods of Egypt, including Pharaoh himself, Pharaoh says, get out of here. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Take the gold from the country and leave. And they do. And then they hit the Red Sea. And they whine about it. And God demonstrates his power all over. He separates the waters. They walk across on dry land. And then they come to a place where there is no water, or there's bitter water. And God had Moses throw a stick into the water, and suddenly it was drinkable. And then later they get to Mount Sinai. Moses is gone for 40 days. They whine and they whine and they whine because they don't have a god that they can worship. And so they manufacture a god. They actually bring their gold to Aaron, and he manufactures a golden calf. And I love the passage of scripture where Moses is talking to Aaron about this, and Aaron says, the people brought me the gold, I threw it in the fire, and out came this calf. Oh, really? Yeah, I didn't have anything to do with it. The calf, golden calf, just jumped right out of that fire. It's in the Bible, believe me, or you read it for yourself, which would probably be better. But God warned them time and 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 time again, do not worship the gods of the nations, of the countries that I'm going to be giving to you. Don't worship the gods of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites. Don't even intermarry with their people, because if you do, then you will bring their gods into your life. Don't do it. Destroy them. Burn them. Tear them down. Tear down their altars. Tear down their Asherah poles. Remove the gods from this world, because I want a pure people, because God understands just how easy it is to try to make peace with all of the other stuff in the world. And so Paul goes back there because he knows that the Israelites became lukewarm. They weren't hot for God. They became lukewarm. And this hypocrisy just frustrates him. And so in the next verses 20 and 21, he says the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. This hypocrisy is detestable to God. It's sort of like, have you ever had somebody, and I've seen this, I haven't, fortunately, praise the Lord, never had somebody say this about me, but I've heard people who have been either spewing lies or swearing or hate-filled speech or something, and then somebody else who overhears this comes up to them and says, you kiss your mother with those lips? You talk about hypocrisy. You're going to allow all of that hate and all that vileness spew out of your mouth, and then you're going to kiss your mama with those lips? Gross. You know, the Apostle James says it probably a little better. He says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. Why? Because it's inconsistent with the character of God. Because it's inconsistent with the character and the nature and the holiness of the one who has saved us. Don't be like the Israelites and try to worship the pagan gods and try to worship everything else and try to make sense of it. Try to blend all of the different kinds of gods and you know, cover your bases. There is only one God. There is only one cup of blessing. Other places, Jesus himself says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. In other words, there is only one God. There is only one cup of blessing. There is only one being that we should participate in. A lot of people say that when they see this verse, they refuse to read it because it sounds like cannibalism. And yet it goes way deeper. When I read this, the word that comes into my mind is participation. I want to be so in tune and so at one with God that when I participate in communion, I am not just eating a chunk of hard bread and drinking some grape juice. I am participating in the flesh of my Savior, and I am participating in the blood of my Lord. Because if I don't have the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I have nothing. All I have is this world. And if all I have is this world, I am to be most pitied. And so we prepare communion every week. Because you just cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You can't have participation in both. You can only have participation in one, and so we prepare it every week. We remember Jesus' death on the cross. We remember that moment that he reclined at the tables and he took that bread and he instituted the Lord's Supper before his disciples. We remember Jesus saying, this is my body broken for you, this is my blood shed for you. We remember Jesus particularly saying, do this as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Unfortunately, we content ourselves too often with just fulfilling a religious duty, with coming to church and saying, I got to at least stay, you know, until after communion, and then I'm going to bolt because I got too many other things to do. The word communion for many people has just become that, just a ritual. Unfortunately, when this communion is set before us, what God wants is not that you just take it and fulfill a religious duty so that you can bolt and go do your family thing. He wants you to participate. He doesn't want you to just take it. He wants it to take you. And that's what Paul is talking about. How many times did the word participate appear in that scripture? In the Greek text, 5. Paul uses that word five times. This participation ushers us into an intimate fellowship, an intimate communion, an intimate union. The word communion, oftentimes we just associate with this thing that is sitting up here on the table. Do you know what the Greek word for communion is? Koinonia. And unfortunately, we have allowed that word to just become, well, let's just get together. Yeah, that we'll call it koinonia. That's what we'll do. We'll shake hands. We'll hug on one another. And that's what koinonia is. But koinonia is so much more. And we have cheapened that word, kind of like we have cheapened communion itself, into just that, instead of realizing how deep fellowship is. It is shared life. It is shared experience. It is knowing one another on a deep level. And that's what Jesus wants in communion. That's the intimacy that he is asking for. Now, I'll be honest with you, it's not easy. It's really not easy to have communion with and to have close fellowship and intimacy with God because, well, to be honest, a lot of us, we're not really, well, we know that God knows everything about us, but we're trying our best to hide it from God, aren't we? We know what our secret sins are. We know what our things that nobody else knows. You know, we know them up here, and we just assume God not know them. And so we try to hide from God. We don't want that fellowship. And we really don't necessarily want that fellowship with another human being because that vulnerability, you know, I don't know if some people even want to have that kind of vulnerability with their own spouse. Why would I let a complete stranger? And yet Scripture says, love one another as God has loved you. I'd love to do that, God, but there are people I don't even like. Why would I love on them? None of you here. But it's not easy. It's not easy being the church that God intends. Satan will continue to place all of this noise before us and all of these other gods before us. And he is trying desperately not to destroy your faith, but to blot it out. The other day we were watching a video. The speaker was talking about a book called The Eclipse of God. That phrase has just stuck in my mind. Because that's what Satan does. That sun is going to shine, but when you move something in front of that sun and you have an eclipse of the sun, you blot it out. You put it in a shadow. Suddenly everything becomes dark. That's what Satan is trying to do with us. He doesn't want you to have union with God. He doesn't want you to have union with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to have close fellowship. That's why he's going to bombard you with all kinds of noise. And the noise is so easy to listen to. Because being the church that God intends, having that one God fellowship, that communion, that deep, intimate relationship is not easy. It's not an easy thing to believe that there is only one God. Because the noise around us is saying there are lots of gods. Just embrace them all. It's okay to believe in the God of the Bible. Just add it to the mix. Add it to the mix of your gods of the family and your gods of beauty and your gods of health and your gods of athleticism and your gods of intellect and all of the other Greek gods that we just use a different name. Just add it to the mix. Stir it all together. You'll be good to go. It's hard. The Corinthians lived in a difficult world. Our world is no better. We belong to the same kind of world that is clamoring for us to have intimacy with the things of the world, which, by the way, are demonic. Let's call it what it is. Paul says, I don't want you to have participation in demonic things. I want you to have participation in an intimate relationship, in a close communion, in the only communion with God. You can't eat at both tables. You can only eat at the one. My friends, it takes a conscious choice. It doesn't happen accidentally. Believing in only one God is something we must choose to do. And the rewards are incredible. But we must be willing to give him our all. We have a song that we're going to sing as we